Good morning. Welcome to our worship service.
Prayer.
Heavenly Father, we praise you for this hour together where we can worship your name and lift it up on high, where we can encourage each other in our walk, build each other up in our common faith as we sing these songs, as we pray together, and as we hear the word preached, and then have the privilege again and the honor to partake of the Lord's table in just a little bit. Father, it is a joy to be here. We thank you for the privilege, and we pray that we will please you in all that is said and done in this hour, that you will be glorified and that our hearts will be fixed on you and on what you have to say to us as we hear your word proclaimed. And may we do great honor to our Savior once again as we partake at his table. We commit the hour to you, pray that your Spirit will accomplish all that he wants to do in this hour in each heart and life, and we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are, to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness, unto holiness. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer together. Father in heaven, how we thank you and praise you that we can gather here on Sunday morning to worship you together. We pray your richest blessing upon each one who has come out. We pray for those that cannot be with us this morning. We pray especially for Becky Meister, as we know she's not been ill this week. We pray that you will restore her to health. And we thank you for her faithfulness to us and to you. And Lord, we just ask you to bless all the others who are going through difficult times right now. We know that there are many that are still suffering from various things, and we just ask you to help them, strengthen them. We pray for our lost loved ones, those who need to know Christ as their Lord and Savior. We pray that you will bring them to yourself. Help us to be good witnesses to those that we know and love. And we pray your blessings upon them. We do pray, our Father, for our world today. We are mindful of the war going on there in Ukraine. All of the suffering and anguish that the people are going through. We pray for the believers there that they will be faithful in showing a testimony of their faith in Christ to those around them. And we pray for our missionaries. We thank you for each one of them and the work that they're doing, and pray that they might be able to reach many with the gospel. Lord, we ask you to guide and help us and lead us in all that we do, that we would be pleasing in your sight, blessing this service today, and may your word be real to us. May we truly understand what you're saying to us. We are dead with Christ on the cross, and we are risen with him to newness of life. May we live in the light of that truth. May your holy will be done, O Lord. Guide and help us, and make us what we ought to be, for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Amen. All right, let's turn to Romans chapter 6 once again. We have been studying Romans now for a while, and Paul has explained to us the doctrine of justification by faith, where God declares the believer to be justified. It's a declaration that he makes that we are saved. We have eternal life in Christ Jesus. We've seen how the whole world was lost in their sins, condemned to die in Adam. We saw last week the two men, Adam and Christ, and how Christ died to redeem us from our sins, to reconcile us to God, to offer a way of salvation, the way of salvation. But now we come to chapter 6, and we see a difference here. Paul is leaving the doctrine of justification, and he's moving on to sanctification. Sanctification. And this goes from chapter 6 to chapter 8. He's dealing with this particular subject. To sanctify simply means to set apart. We're set apart from our old life. We're set apart from sin, from ungodliness, and we're set apart to God. We're set apart to Christ. Believers no longer are to live in sin, but to serve God faithfully. This is the doctrine of sanctification, where God actually works in us to make us more like the Lord Jesus. And that's the way it should be. Now, sanctification in the Bible has a threefold way of thinking. First of all, you have positional sanctification. This is that the Christian is not of the world, even as Christ is not of the world. Let's look in John chapter 17 for a moment. John chapter 17 and verse 16. It says Jesus is praying to the Father and speaking of his disciples. He says, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also, which shall believe on me through their word. So the Lord Jesus is speaking here about setting the believers apart from the world, from all that is sinful and ungodly, and positionally in Christ we are sanctified. The second thing is, practically speaking, day by day, victory and a gradual increase in holiness and Christ-likeness is the sanctification, a practical sense. The Holy Spirit comes into our life and works in us to make us what we ought to be, practically speaking, gradually growing in a likeness to the Lord. And then, of course, perfect sanctification is when we are with the Lord, when we go to be with Him and we see Him in all of His glory. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2, it says, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. That's when we'll be absolutely perfect, like the Lord, and growing and knowing Him in all of His fullness and glory. All right, let's look at chapter 6 of Romans. We found Paul has a series of questions here he's asking. First of all, he says, what shall we say then? In light of what we've already looked at, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Notice to go back up to the previous chapter and verse 21, it says, that as sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So he's talking about who is going to be in charge. Who's the ruler? Who's the dominant one? Is it going to be sin or is it going to be grace? Is it going to be God or is it going to be man? And here he says, okay, in light of this, thinking about all this, what should we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Because grace, he says, is ruling and reigning. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Okay? So he's imagining here, I think, he's talking with someone and saying, carrying on a conversation, and he says, okay, if grace is going to abound, and the more we sin, the more grace you get, right? God overcomes the sin by giving grace. He said, okay, so what are we supposed to do? Sin more so we can get more grace? God forbid, he says, right? And here we find that he says, certainly not. This word, God forbid, this is a phrase, it means may it never be. It's used 14 times in Paul's epistles, 10 times in the book of Romans. So this is something Paul repeats, right? It has a more forceful kind of language here. God forbid is the way the translators put it in order to emphasize that, but the name of God doesn't really appear here. But it means certainly not, absolutely not. We are not to continue in sin so that grace may abound. How shall we, that are dead to sin, live any longer therein? We died with Christ. We were identified with Him on the cross. We've accepted Him as our Lord and our Savior. His death paid for our sin. How can we continue to live a sinful life? Some people think they can. And we, you know, that's the point of Paul emphasizing here, the fact, you know, we're saved by grace, praise the Lord. It's wonderful, right? But that same grace teaches us to deny ungodliness, worldly lust, and to live soberly, godly, in this present world. So we are not to use that for an excuse to live our sinful life. He says, we are dead to sin. We can no longer live in it. And Second Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We have a new life, don't we? In Christ. And so we don't continue on living in sin without thinking about what we're doing with the Lord. So Paul then gives an illustration here in verse 3. He says, do you not know? And this is something I know I got from Warren Wiersbe, actually. But there's three words here very clearly in the Scriptures, repeated over and over again. First of all, you need to know something. Then you have to reckon it to be so. And then you yield yourself to what God has done in your life. So it's you know. I've underlined it in my Bible. There's quite a number of times it mentions know. Know you not? So many of us, as we're baptized into Jesus Christ, we're baptized into His death. So here Paul gives us the illustration of baptism. What is baptism? Water baptism is a picture of our identification with Christ in His death and resurrection. We died with Him, we were buried with Him, and we rose again to life in Him. So we are united with the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is an important thing. Every believer in the New Testament, without exception, when they were saved, were baptized. Right? And there was no question about it. It was just, this is what followed, because Jesus said, you know, this is what we're supposed to do. You get them saved, you get them baptized, and then they go in and follow the Lord. So the old life comes to an end, and a completely new life begins. They were buried with Christ and rose again to newness of life, a brand new life. And so that's an important thing to think about in baptism. Baptism symbolizes primarily a union with Christ. We're united together with Him in His death, His burial, and His resurrection. So we have new life in Him. Look with me, if you would, in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 7, I believe it is. Galatians. Just a second. Oh, 3:7. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, same as are the children of Abraham. I don't know how I got that in there. Sorry about that. That doesn't really work yet. We do not have to serve sin any longer. It says here in our text, therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. So knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Okay, I got a little bit mixed up. I guess I could put down the wrong reference. But anyway, the idea here is, this is something that we need to know, that we are identified with Christ, we are united with him, and that we are to not serve sin. That's very clear. Do not serve sin. Now, the question is many times, what is sin? What is sin? And you know, that we can get all involved. Some people would consider one thing a sin. Someone else may consider something else a sin. And, you know, you can go around in the barn, you know, just keep on going. But we know from the Scriptures that God does say that certain things are sin. And we have to, according to the Word of God, we need to know what sin is so that we do not practice it, right? And we need to know what God says about it. Of course, he gives us some clear instructions in some places. Sometimes there's a little bit of a doubt. We wonder, is it really true? Are we really sinning when we do this? And so we need to keep all that in our minds. Our old man died with Christ, it tells us here in verse 6. Our old man is crucified with him. Now that's a fact, right? It says it very clearly. We have to reckon that to be so. And that the body of sin might be destroyed. So we put all that behind us. The old man's gone, and we have a new man. That is to live righteously. We have new life in Christ. Verse 8. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him. So, we died with him, yes, but on the third day, Jesus arose, and we arose with him in this picture that we're looking at. We are in him. And two other references tell us to consider the old man dead. Here in Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians 4, 22. It says, put off concerning the former conversation or a former lifestyle, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, who after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And then he gives some examples. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. So to be angry is not necessarily a sin, right? Okay. Sometimes it is, though. Let not the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. But rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. So our speech can be sinful, or it can be righteous, depending on what we say. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. See. So this is putting away the old man, putting on the new man. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 9. Once again he says, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So here we have put off the old man, put on the new man. And it's important to think about that. This is what Paul is speaking of here. And then we find Paul's exhortation here in verse 11. He says, likewise, reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Just die to sin. But alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Reckon yourselves to be dead to sin, alive to God. Count it to be so. You know, this word reckon is a counting term where you figure it out. Count it to be so. Accept God's word for it by faith. Put away the sin and walk in righteousness. Yield yourselves to God. Verse 12. Let not sin therefore reign. There's that word. The one who is on the throne. Don't let sin be on the throne in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither, here's the other word, yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So here we find that there is the opportunity to make a decision. Are you going to yield yourself to sin and do whatever it is that is wrong in the sight of God, or are you going to be obedient and walk in fellowship with God and with the Lord Jesus Christ? So here, this is a choice that we make. Yield. So there's something that we can do. Make that decision. So God in His grace has set us free from the law, He tells us here in verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. So we're set free from the old law, and we're walking with the Lord in grace. He's pouring out His grace upon us, and then we are to continue to live for Him. Again, he brings up the subject here, another question. He says, what then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? If you've been set free from the law, you don't, I don't have to do that anymore. Right? You know, thou shalt not kill, whatever. But he says, no. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Whose servant are you? Servant of sin or a servant of obedience to God? One who is seeking to walk Now we know, of course, none of us are perfect in this world. We already talked about that. We're practically growing in sanctification, but we haven't arrived yet. Paul said he hadn't arrived, and we haven't either. And so we do fail from time to time. But he's saying, in our minds, in our hearts, what is our desire? Are we yielded to God and to His will, or are we yielded to our own will, the old life, sin? He says, no. Yield yourself to God and serve Him. Verse 17, but God be thanked that you were in the past the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. You've obeyed. You have put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have eternal life through Him. He says, being made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. You see? You say, oh, well, I thought, you know, all I had to do is accept Jesus and then I'm going to go to heaven and that's it. Well, that is it. That is it. But also along the way, he says, you've got something to do. But, you know, what are you going to do? You know? I was saved when I was 15 years old. What was I supposed to do? Okay, Lord, I'm ready. Here we go. No, you become a servant. Servant of righteousness. Seek to promote the kingdom of God. Seek to reach people with the gospel. And he goes on, he says, I speak after the manner of men. I want you to understand what I'm saying. Because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded in the past, your members, servants, to uncleanness, to iniquity. Even so, yield your members now, servants, to righteousness unto holiness. There's been a transformation, right? It's like the caterpillar, you know, that little ugly thing sticking on the side of the tree. He gets up there and he spins this web around or whatever, and after so long a time, he comes out flying as a beautiful butterfly, right? Now, what's he supposed to do after he comes out so beautifully like that? He's going to go back inside this cocoon and turn back into a caterpillar again? No. And we as Christians are not to continue to live a sinful life. You know, just going the wrong direction. No, yield yourselves to be the servants of righteousness. And he comes on down. This last verse, it says, for the wages of sin is death. Okay? You want to get paid? Continue to sin? What happens? You die. Right? Now, I know you're thinking, well, I'm saved. I can't die, you know. But as far as your usefulness is concerned, it all leads to death and destruction, right? If we continue to live in sin. But he says the gift of God, this is what God gives you without any cost, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we have salvation through Him, and we can rejoice in that. In a moment we're going to be celebrating the Lord's Supper and thinking about what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross of Calvary. He has washed us and made us clean in Him through His precious blood that was shed for us on the cross. And we rejoice in Him and in all that He does for us. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, this morning for your word to our hearts, and we pray you'd help us understand it. I know we usually emphasize the salvation is so free and we don't have to do a single thing and all that, which is true. But at the same time, once a person is born again by the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit comes in to change us and to make us more like you. So help us. Help us not to walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Help us to do what is right and just in your sight. Thank you for your working in our lives. Thank you for the Holy Spirit of God who changes us and makes us more like yourself. Help us, our Father, to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus and to live righteously and be servants of righteousness. Lord, I pray now that you'd just bless and guide and help each one of us. You know our hearts. You know what we need. May we repent of any and every sin. May we truly look to you and find the strength we need to keep going. And may Christ be glorified in our lives. May your holy will be done. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.